So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Certainly. I'm Ritzy, and I'm from the Joy Formidable.
I'm Ridian, and I am too Ritzy. Hello. How are you?
It's really nice that you've gotten to know each other in this short moment in time. Maybe it'll lead to something. Do you think?
I'd say it's been a hell of a long courtship, you know, but those are the best.
This is not new, and most bands that are at this moment that are doing what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing, is, you know, it's not new. I mean, we're talking 2008, we're talking single, we're talking an album for Japan only.
It started in North Wales, and you're right in saying that it did start off the back of another band, but it was really us writing for the first time and trying to, you know, forget everything maybe that had gone with that previous band. We'd had a lot of bullshit and egos and working with people who were maybe doing music for the wrong reasons, and I think there was a real call to arms when we started writing together of just, you know, enjoy music, writing something that was meaningful for us, experimenting, having no, you know, agenda ultimately apart from, you know, getting to know each other and getting to know each other creatively and musically and forming the songwriting, you know, partnership that we've got now, really. From 50 to 100 songs, it was like there was suddenly a voice, a lyrical voice, and signatures and certain things that give us goosebumps, and, you know, the same thing started to excite us. And, you know, it was kind of clear that there was something kind of becoming very defined. And from then, the song started to take more and more shape in a certain direction. So it was a very free.
Well, like Ritzy said, it was us discovering each other in so many ways. We were in a previous guise, but really that was me phoning Ritzy when she was in the States and asking her to join a band that I had with a guy at the time. And it was a very different dynamic, you know, like Ritzy said, without delving too much into it. It was a very sad time and frustrating, and we escaped all that. And us writing together for the first time, because you were really just a guitarist, I suppose, playing parts, you know, as opposed to now, where we're very much entwined in all the songwriting and so forth. I think the joyous element, if any, really was in that just utter losing yourself into the music. It was more of getting off on it again.
I'm going to get right to this because I luckily I got the whole record and I've had the past 24 hours to listen to it and I've actually rolled through it. You self-produced it, right?
Yep.
But you had Andy Wallace mix it. Yeah. So the theory behind that was to use your expertise in songwriting and sounds, but then to make sure that the end result was...
Well, that's it. I mean, we actually did that for the first record, essentially. You know, Rich Costey produced a couple of tracks with us, but it was us very much at the helm of, you know, the vision and how we wanted it to sound. And yeah, and getting their expert ears to finally help us realize it, because, you know, I think you do need to step away and have an objective... You need to give your ears a break, you know. I think when it comes to actual production, I think we've very much been a part of it. I think it's a really important thing. It is for us anyway, but we love the work that those guys have done. I mean, working with Andy Wallace was absolutely superb. I mean, I've always been a big fan of his, especially his drum sounds, and it's very rare, I think, to find really decent drum sound, for me anyway, so it was a pleasure.
I put it in, I listened to Wolf's Law, and then at a minute and 30 seconds, I knew immediately it was the Joy. And it was right there. It was like at a minute and 30 seconds, I said, yep, this is a Joy Formidable track. At the beginning, I thought, wow, this is interesting.
I think a really important point is that it's about intensity, really, for us. It's not about it being dynamically loud all the time. It's about intensity, you know? And I think we always say that when we reference, like when people talk about rock or you know, heavy metal, whatever, it's, I find bands like The Clash equally as intense as some of the heaviest, metal bands. I think it's for us anyway, it's about the actual intensity. So, it doesn't feel strange to us to do, the tender songs. There's certainly a few on this record,
But there's also, much more forward piano. Things happening beyond the intensity of the guitars, ballads, in a true way. So, and one of the things that I read is that this was also, you kind of, emotionally, you were in a very different place when you made that first record, right?
Yeah, that's right. Even down to the way we recorded the first record, personally, there was a lot of emotional baggage, going on. There was definitely some difficult circumstances in our own personal lives, and the way we recorded it was in different rooms, on tour. Everything was very turbulent, chaotic, and all over each other, and it just added to the overall aggression running throughout it. But this record, some of those kind of demons are kind of getting resolved a little bit. And, we found some time to actually get off the road and realise some of our ideas as well. So things felt very, I wouldn't say harmonious, just focused, if anything, it was more intense. But it was just very clear this time around, And we went back to basics in terms of the writing as well. We wrote with just one guitar and vocal, or one piano and vocal, and then we fleshed the songs around that. We went back to the kind of bare...
The dreaded sophomore album, right? Everybody's like, oh, the second album. But what I know that most people don't know is that way before the first album, there were EPs. There was a 7-inch single. So this isn't really the sophomore album, right?
Yeah, that's true. We released a live album before we even released our album. So it's...
But America doesn't know that, you see.
No, we like to keep it quiet, It ended quite interestingly with Ritzy blowing up her amp. This is all live. We thought, well, it's live. What can you do? We'll leave it in there. So the amp blows up and she's like, oh, broken me amp, and that's the way it ends. The gig ends there. We couldn't even do an encore, but it was great. It's a live CD.
So not to get granular, but I'm just going to throw some things out about that I heard in the album. And again, I'm fresh, right? I just popped it in, said, okay, I'm talking to them again. And no, but it was really interesting. There's a different kind of wah-wah sound happening on one of the tracks. You did some experimentation. You played, most definitely on Bats, the vocal. You definitely had some... Now, did that happen when you recorded it, or did that happen in the mix, for example?
Oh, no, that was definitely while we were recording, yeah. I mean, we're always... I think the album is very vocally driven, actually, and we experimented a lot with that and what your voice can do naturally and things that you can synthesize your voice with later,
Right.
It's a constant source of fascination to us,
I'm looking forward to playing Bats live, just so I can see him try and do those really high notes. We can only have it!
And silent treatment. Now, that's a beautiful... What was that, a particular guitar? Because that's a there's some beautiful picking going on silent treatment. That's really gorgeous stuff. And again, not that it's different. It's organic to the band, because again, if you strip down the intensity... It's very melodic.
Again, it comes back to that thing about the voice and what the story is, what the lyrics are saying. I mean, the Big Roar, I think it was, everything, all the layers were piled on top of each other and it worked as an overall mesh. But with this album, I think the approach was if you can play it on one instrument, do it, and keep everything very, very bare and let the lyrics and the vocals be the main feature. We're the same. I'm always driven by lyrics and melody. That's what really touches, I think, all of us ultimately, and we just wanted that to shine. And that's a good example of another one that we're proud of. There's far too many albums that are just full of, just don't they don't have any thought behind how it develops. It's just a bunch of really short songs put together because you know that people are going to digest it by just downloading a couple off iTunes. You know, we still love the album format, and the same goes with playing out live. You know, we not only play some of these new tracks, we play songs that aren't even on the Big Roar. We play really old songs. You know, I think you have to make people invest, make them not make everything so here and now and comfortable for them. You know, we see so many bands now who just they can overnight go and sell out you know, a Brixton Academy, and 6 months later nobody gives a shit about them. You know what I mean? We're interested in always pushing ourselves as writers and being there for the long haul, not being there for, you know, just the here and now. You know, it's that attitude of like you're owed something and you want it on a plate. I think if you live and breathe it, and that goes with the writing as well. I mean, people often ask us, you know, how does the writing process work? Well, it works all the time. This isn't a job. This is like part of everything, and it's the same with the shows. You know, it's not a job. We love playing live, and we play all the time, and I think that's how people get to know us, you know, instead of like you know, Joe Bloggs down the street saying, hey, you should go and watch these guys. It's actually, it feels a really exciting time because there's a transparency there. It seems like artists can really directly connect with their audience, you know, and that's where the kind of strength lies, isn't it? You know, if the material is strong in whatever kind of way, then people will find out about it and they will talk amongst themselves. It's a great time in that respect.
So we do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs is the bread and songs by anybody else you want to play in between. So now you have the new record. So I'm sure that there's some new music that you want to play along with that new record.